think I said the other day, I was listening to some preacher, and he said that of the people in this world nowadays, most of them couldn't tell you two of the Gospels. Used to be most kids could, children could quote. When I was in Sunday school, they wanted you to memorize the books of the Bible. And I think we had it here for a good while. Some of the teachers were doing that. It's good to read it. It'll help you. And it'll answer a lot of questions of your mind. We're in verse number 15 of chapter 10. I want you to look at the words very closely. I said we're going to, Lord, my helper, if he allows me, gives me the wisdom and the liberty to preach. I want to deal with this thought about the Father-Son relationship. Notice in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now look right at the end of Father. You probably would call it a grammar error. It's two dots. And really, it's not in your grammar pages. They don't use those. They use three, but they don't use two. And so I figured, well, I'm going to search it up a little bit. And so I was trying to find, and I run to a lot of different ones that were making comments about those two, what they could mean, what they might mean. And I liked, the one I picked was the one that said, what is saying to you is kind of saying the same thing as it says in the Psalms. You read part of the Psalm and it'll say, Selah. And that's to stop and meditate and consider those things. And so this guy that was writing, trying to diagnose what those two dots were, said, that's doing the same thing. It's telling you stop and just kind of think those truths over, the weight, the influence, the power of those words that you've just read, what it means to you. And certainly they're great words. Let me just read the rest of it. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also will I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And as I said last week, that's speaking of the Gentiles. He's speaking to the Jews here, and this is the other sheep are the Gentiles. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. These commandments, and commandment, and that's an amazing word. It means a direction to obey. That word commandment, there means a direction to obey. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is what my Father told me to do. And he says, he mentions it a number of times that he's going to lay down my life for the sheep, and as my Father has commanded me. Father, in Jesus' name, I need your help all the time. I know there's, for some reason, when we study these things, they just seem to open up in the scriptures and then later on try to preach them. Many times the things that thrilled our soul, just the study, we're not able to bring them to the same zeal and excitement that when we first studied it. And I pray you'd allow me to have it. I know other men, and one I kept in my Bible that said that was one of his problems, that what he had in the study, he couldn't get it to the pulpit, and I believe that's every preacher. I pray to help me this morning and bring to my mind the truths that you want me to preach. I believe it would be a blessing to each one of us when we realize just what is being said here. And I like the two dots. Time for us to just kind of sit down there and just kind of run over those truths and consider it. Knowing the Father and the Father knowing us. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, make it apply to our hearts and minds. And may we magnify the Lord together for His goodness, making us a part of His family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. There's a number of verses, the verse that we read at the beginning of the service in 1 John, speaking of how that we are part of the family of God, and tells us that in verse number 1 of chapter 3, I read it for you, it tells us how that we, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so I'm not going to deal that much with it, but I want you to I know that it identifies with us. I want to go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'll just read that now. 2 Corinthians tells us, it says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't think you'll find that any other place in the Bible, sons and daughters. And that's so rewarding when you realize just what God's going to make us. I'm dealing primarily with this relationship between Jesus and the Father, but I also want, if I could have time to this morning, to make the application to us. What a privilege, what an honor to be. If you recognize that God takes you into His family and makes you one of His children and treats you as a child. And so it just, the more you study it, the more you meditate on it, the more you think about it, how that God honors you with that privilege of being a child of God, a son of God. In Romans 8, it tells you that the moment you're saved, the moment you're saved, the Spirit of God bears witness to your spirit and tells you now you can call Him Abba Father. We read that and just, yeah, okay. But so much of the Bible, we turn it over to rhetoric, we turn it over to our own views, and fail to really see the spiritual application to our life. You become a child of God. Well, I want to deal a little bit with about how that the Father knoweth me. That's one of the first statements in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me. I want to speak about that, just thinking, and I hope you toy with this in your mind and let this run through your mind, about the Father knowing me. I'm going to make this application spoken of Jesus here, but certainly can relate to us when we become the sons of God. But He knows some things. He knows about you. He knows about Jesus, the things, can I say, with a certainty. There's no questioning. There's no supposition. There's no dark characteristics. There's no puzzling. He knows. Jesus said, He knows me. He knows that I will love Him with perfect obedience. Jesus is taking this, and He said, He knows me. He knows about my life. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows my spirit. He knows me. And He knows that He can trust me. He knows that I'll be obedient to Him. He knows I'll never change and turn my heart against Him. I'll never look another way. I'll never bring reproach on his life. He knows that. My Father knows me. There's no question about it. He knows that he's first in my life. I seek before anything else to please the Lord. The Bible says here, my Father knoweth me. And so you need to consider what all this knowledge is that God has of his Son. Knows his life. He knows his heart. He knows his mind. He knows the longing of his soul. He knew so well that he's safe from heaven, like a thunder. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He knows, can I say, everything that's in your life, everything that's in the Lord's life, everything about him. Can I say it's every thought, faithfulness, how he would worship the Father, how he would seek the Father, how he wanted to be close to the Father. I'm saying the Father knew that about Jesus. He knew that he loved him. He knew that he'd obey him. I'm talking about this relationship of Father and Son that should be the same with us when time comes. It ought to be the same way with the physical Father and Son. Jesus did set the example, tells us in Peter and also in John, that we should walk even as he walked. We should be Christ-like. That's what you call yourself. When you say, I'm a Christian, you say, I'm like Christ. That's what you're saying. Look at me. I live like Christ. I think like Christ. Let this be mine and be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So I think and reason like Christ. I belong to him. I'm his child. And so he can trust me. He knows me. He knows all about me. He knows my ways. He knows my will. He knows my heart. He knows whether I'm a phony or not, whether I just make statements or what I say is real. He knows me. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing surprising. There's nothing in any way that would cause him to question Jesus. He had perfect obedience, perfect love, perfect loyalty, perfect praise. Jesus did for the Father. He honored the Father. He feared the Father. He respected him and honored him. I'm saying to you, the Father knew this about the Son. He knows me. He knows me. I'm saying, we ought to try to make that application to our lives, that he knows everything about us. He knows your spirit. He knows whether you really mean what you say. He knows whether you'll obey him when he gives you a command. He gives this command to Jesus to lay down his life. That's what it tells you. This commandment have I received of my Father, the last part of verse 18. My Father, give me the desire of his will that I lay down my life. The Father knew I would. He knew, regardless though, it was something that was painful, something that was dreaded, something that was frightful to a man. He said no, he knew. God knew him. He knew he'd lay it down. He knew he'd take it up. He knew Jesus. He knew everything about him, the way he'd live his life. And then it turns around. Notice in verse 15, as my Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I guess one of the greatest things about the Christian life is developing a knowledge of God. Oh, the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable they are, past finding out. And so we have this charge in us to know him. Apostle Paul said that I may know him. You can't know him just by what others say. You can't really have that personal relationship of really knowing what God's like until you experience it. You must experience God in your life to really know him. Everything other than that is just, you might almost say, hearsay. You read your Bible, but you got to experience it. It's got to be manifested to you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have to sense that in the Spirit of God, apply it to your life. And so Jesus said, and I know him. He certainly knew the attributes, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Father. He knew how the Father would respond to everything he asked. He knew the heart, the will, the justice. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He said he wanted me to lay down my life for him. And he said he loves me because I did. He tells that it's in here. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he tells us that he says, therefore doth my Father, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He knew the Father wanted this. This was the Father's will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so he knew the will of the Father. He knew the heart throb of the Father. He knew the love of the Father, his love for mankind, love for his creation. He knew what it was. And so he responded likewise. I'm saying he knows. You know about the Lord. You know about God. What he says, he will do. You know, I guess there's some of the things that God does that you and I just have problems with. We pray and the prayer is not answered. We might pray for somebody was sick, somebody going astray, something wrong with somebody, blah, blah, blah. And the prayer is not answered. You can say what you want. I know what it means to pray and the prayer isn't answered the way I want it answered. But Jesus knew and always had it in his mind. It's like when he was in the garden and sweating as it was, great drops of blood. Father, is there any other way? Is there another way? He said, but the Lord indicated to him, no. And so Jesus respected his Father's answer to the prayer. He didn't question him. He didn't argue with him. He went on and suffered Calvary. We have a hard time. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're a lot closer to God than I am. We have a lot of times, really accepting the fact that when you honestly, truthfully confess your sins, we have a trouble a lot of times of whether God really does forgive us. We take a look at our sin. We take a look at our sin record. And we wonder, Does he really forgive? Does he forgive completely? Is it really, does he just cast it away and never remember it again, never say a word to us about it again? The devil will plague our minds. Temptation will come to our minds to review it again and again. And our faith is weak. And so actually there's times we probably charge God with not hearing my prayer, not answer, not really forgiving me. Happy's the day when you build your faith in God's word, not in your feelings and emotions. And when you pray and ask for forgiveness of sin, you walk away rejoicing, believing that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knows. Even so know I the Father. I know he'll not change. I know the Father won't change his mind. I know what he says is firm. It's not changeable. The Lord thy God changes not. And so Jesus knew that he wouldn't change. Though he was praying in the garden, "Look, Father, help! Any other way?" He knew he wouldn't change. God's faithful. He's faithful to his word. I don't care what we do, how much you and I think that things ought to go other ways. God's faithful. He's one that will not change. He can't change. He can't change. He can't change his judgments. I'm saying he can't change. He's got to be consistent. He's got to be the same, just as he said he is, all the way down through eternity. He has to be the same. He can't alter. He can't change it. When he said it, it's done. It's finished. It's recorded. It's settled in heaven. And so there's no use us trying to find another way around it, see if we can excuse it, see if we can rest a little bit. Jesus knew that whatever God said was firm and settled. Hard to accept a lot. But when you realize the love of God for you, realize how he watches over you, realize how he takes care of you, you can look back over your life. If you'd stop and just think a little bit about your life, if God will let you keep going, he didn't send somebody by or send somebody to witness to you, or if he'd have just let you go, where would you be today? I'm saying, you know that God is a loving, kind, merciful God. And he shows his mercy to us even we don't deserve it whatsoever. Even though we don't even thank him, as the nine lepers walked away. You and I have walked down the road and never turned back and said thanks. Thanks for protecting me almost in that accident. Thanks for carrying me through this sickness. Thanks for giving me health for the day. Thanks for how you blessed my life, blessed my family. I prayed for my children and you've protected them. Where's the thanks? Where's the gratitude? Can you imagine he keeps doing things for you and me? Many times that we never even recognize it, acknowledge it, or thank him for it. That's God. God's faithful. God loves us. It's because he loves us. And as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What a royalty. What an honor. What an honor. Who are you? I'm God's son. Do you realize who you are? What a privilege. What a glory. What an honor to believe that God would accept you into his family. His family. And call you his child. And promise that he'd supply your needs. Supply, he'd never leave you. He'll watch over you. He'll care for you. He'll protect you. He'll guard you. He'll turn you around. He'll discipline you because he loves you. He chastens whom he loves. He'll discipline you. How great is our God and greatly to be praised. Certainly he is. To think how wonderful he is to us. How kind. How merciful. How caring. How helpful. How blessed we are to be one of his children. Say we fail to see. Let me just read another passage of scripture in Romans 8. Oh my, I don't know where this Romans 8:14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Have you read that? I remember discussing this with a preacher one time. And he kept making other statements contrary to what this is saying. And so I wouldn't argue with him. All I'd do is I'd read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And he wanted to argue about people just going in and doing this, all this, blah, blah. I said, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are, I hope you're reading your Bible, that we are the children of God, belong to him. He's responsible for us now. He's taken us into our family. He's our Father. And so he's responsible to care for us, to keep us, to watch over us. I'm saying it, if you and I could just fathom this in your mind, that I'm one of God's children. You sing it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. There's, you got the cleansing and the birth. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. And so you have this experience of the father, son, father, daughter relationship. Belonging to God. Led by God. Cared for. He even said, dump it all on me. Cast your care upon me because I care for you. Psalm 55 tells you just let it go. Just let it rip. Whatever you want to say, whatever you got to say. You got cares, you got problems, you got weaknesses. You got things you can't handle. Things that's overwhelming you. Cast your care upon me. And I'm telling you that because I care. I care about you. I care about you having cares. I care about those things that's defeating you and discouraging you and confusing you and ruining your life and your heart. Cast it on me because I love you. I want to hear your problems. Can you imagine? You know who that is? That's a Father, a Heavenly Father, that watches over you, that loves you, that really loves you. You've heard me say it. That day I was walking back and forth there praying. And I'll still never forget that day. I was saying to myself as I was praying, He loves me. And I kept on praying and saying it. There ain't a one of you at times that hasn't thought, maybe God just don't love you. He feels like He's nowhere around, and you realize you haven't really been doing your best trying to please Him. And you kind of get that feeling that He don't love me like He used to. Well, Jesus said, I know Him. And you said, well, you know what I know about Him? He does not change. If He tells you He loves you, can I say to you, you can be assured, you can build, you can rest in your faith that He really loves you. He loves you with an unquenchable love. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with an eternal love. I'm saying to you, I got a Father up in heaven. You've sang the different songs that go along with that. Of His loving grace, His kindness, His mercy, His long-suffering. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Did you ever get a little picture you can of the majesty, the glory, the wonder of God, the place where His throne is and all of them worshiping, the beings in heaven, the different ones that cherubims and seraphims and all them just praising God. What is man? What is man? That thou art mindful of him. You'd think upon me. He's God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a patient God. He's a caring God. He's a God that will supply your needs. He's a God that will walk with you when nobody else will. You'll find that in times and days. I was thinking how that Noah must have felt awful alone. Nobody listened to him. Nobody move. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody say amen. Nobody agree with him. But old Noah kept on preaching. You know why? He knew God loved him. He knew God cared for him. Knew God is supplying a place for him. A safety. I'm saying God is great. God is good. I like that song that they sang. Let's stand. Was that song going, shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet? God leads his dear children along. You serve God, put him first in your life, and you're going to find some lonely days. You really are. You're going to find some lonely days. If you're not ready for him, you better not draw close to him. But I've never seen him fail. If I'd get down and pour out my soul, you might say, make my complaint. ask him where he is, and does he still love me? Does he care? But our songwriter said, oh, yes, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. He's never failed me. I can get down and be down in the dumps, just feel like the world's crushing. In a few moments, I can raise up, head up, ready to go. Knowing God has affirmed his love for me, I bless his holy name. God is good. Father, in Jesus' name, I don't think I got it across, but I pray they'll read their Bible. They'll get on their knees before you and ask if you'd help them to understand the character of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, your long-suffering with them. May we be people that praise you, magnify you, thank you for your goodness. Not let others steal our joy. My, it's so close to the end of the trail. I pray we can do like Apostle Paul, finish this course with joy, not defeat, not discouragement, but finish it with joy in our soul. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Amen.